Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, President of Aerospace Management System Institute, Board Member of Professional Aerospace Maintenance Association, and National Aviation Safety Foundation. He's the anchor host for Plane Time Stressing Aviation Maintenance. He has over 3,000 hours of flight time around the world and is today's host.
Hello, and we're live here. This is Ben Coleman, your anchor host for the Florida Aviation Network, coming to you the 49th annual Sun and Fun International Expo and Fly-In. We're coming to you live and in the clear here from the Central Florida Aerospace Academy, and that's right across the street from the Aerospace Center for Excellence. You'd have no idea how many years it's taken, and it still hadn't completely sunk in yet. But we do have a guest here, as camera two just popped in on us here. David St. George. David, Airshake.
Yes, sir.
Airshake. Fist bump.
Virtual fist bump.
There we go. Or head slap, as they do.
Thank you for having me, Ben.
Well, you don't know what to thank me for yet.
Well, we'll work on it.
I haven't exposed you. David, we here at the Florida Aviation Network, we concentrate on aviation safety.
Yes, sir.
And I'm taking this a step further into aerospace safety. Sometimes we wear the word safe out, so that's the reason that we have an acronym. What does SAFE stand for in your organization?
Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, and that includes AMTs, IAs, and so we have a lot of maintenance schools that are part of SAFE, but we focus on instructors at all levels and trying to raise the excellence and professionalism. Because if we reach those people who teach, we exponentially reach, for each person, 50 other people in probably a month. You know, that'd be a conservative estimate. They are the primary influencers in the industry, that word which we now know from social media.
David, is everybody cut out to be an instructor? Loaded question.
Well, you know, and I'm giving I'm prepared, Ben, because I'm giving a lot of forums here this week. And okay. I always put up the picture of the early Tom Cruise, right, with the 50 mission jacket and the hair slicked back and the sunglasses, you know, and very little emotional intelligence. And he's an amazing pilot, right? And this could be the Chuck Yeager, but sometimes the person who's the very best pilot is not the very best educator. It's a very different toolkit for somebody that wants to be a educator. You know, you have to make a bond of trust with somebody. And we all know the pilot personality is sort of straight ahead, aggressive, almost selfish, you know, pursuing a goal. That kind of emphasis makes somebody successful as a pilot. But to be an educator, you really have to be compassionate. You have to be caring and sharing. And I always emphasize pilot certificate, and now you have another certificate, which you will earn soon, which is CFI. And that other piece of FAA plastic has a completely different skill set.
David, you're putting the pressure on me. You just mentioned, you said I had, I will have
some. I'm going to check in with you, Ben, and see how that's going.
The pressure. There's something that I came up with. And I will take full credit for this.
Okay.
I will take full credit. Do you want a captain up in the front left seat or in the little airplane, and whoever's at the controls, do you want them to be a timid, introvert, slow learner, or do you want them to be an aggressive, arrogant, take charge, alpha? I'm in total control of this airplane. I am an egotist to the nth degree. This is my airplane. I'm not going to let anything happen to it. Which one of the two?
I might go in down the middle. Sorry, Ben.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. In other words, I've taught flying for, 30 years, and I have about 16,000 hours of dual given, so I have seen every version of that. The person who is too timid is not going to be successful because what they do is, you know, they always question themselves. And as we know, that plane's moving along, so time's of the essence. Somebody that's too aggressive is, you know, moving too quickly, and they might react incorrectly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's It's a little bit of a pause, usually. And actually, I was just giving this talk this morning. We have two processors. One is the fast, you know, intuitive sort of reaction, mm-hmm. which is programmed in. That's when the engine fails at 250 feet. You got to do it, bring it around.
The decision's been made.
Yeah. And then there's the thoughtful mind, which is a little slower and it takes time. It's a combination of those that makes a good pilot. And each one is applied to a situation depending on the need.
The reason I brought that up is that I know a lot of people that are timid.
Yeah.
However, they're very intelligent, highly
yep.
skilled.
Yep.
Got to find a way to pull that out of them. There's a point in time where they need to be in charge.
Yes, sir.
But there's also a point in time where they need to sit back and arms folded.
Yeah, and that is, you know, and what you're pointing out there is, as an educator, you have to create that because you get people at a broad spectrum of personalities. They all have to go through that funnel and have the guidance, the background, the experience, and the judgment to be a good pilot. And as an educator, that's what you're doing is slowly nudging them. And I'll tell you the technique for that, you know, and as an instructor, you don't do this right away, but as you're moving along and they're comfortable, you fail the engine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you get the one that can't decide. I'm going here, I'm going there. I mean, you know, it's like, fold your arms and you say, well, live or die, you know, we got to make a decision. And you really kind of force that. And the perfect is the enemy of the good there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not
mm-hmm.
going to find a perfect field. There is not going to be a paved runway to land on. We find the best we can. We do the best job we can. We follow our training. And 97% of the time, you're going to walk away if you do it correctly.
Yeah.
But that's the answer there. You're not going to get perfect. You'll get good.
We're going to get into your 3 points, but I do want to share a little bit of a war story with you, and you just hit the nail on the head.
The engine failure?
Twin engine. Are you familiar with the little Technam P2016?
Oh, yeah. The little dual Rotax.
Yeah.
Wonder.
I was given a flight familiarization, and
yep.
what I love to do sitting in the right seat is on takeoff, climbing out, is let's keep your eyes open for the traffic. It's pretty busy around here. All the time we're doing that, I'm pulling that right engine throttle.
Yep.
Easing it back to zero thrust. And whoever saw it says, what just happened? I said, you just had an engine failure. Engine failure? Oh, my God. And they start tugging yeah. for stuff, looking for buttons. Where's my pump? Where's my pumps?
Fly the plane.
Don't worry about
Fly
it.
Fly the plane.
Just relax.
Yeah.
So, but it's just the, now that's that airplane.
Yes.
Others, you do that, and you don't take immediate action, and you're going to find it on your back. So.
Well, yeah, I teach a lot.
Yeah,
but I teach a lot of twin, and the key thing, and Hobie Tomlinson, I give him credit for this, TWA pilot, mm-hmm. thousands of Atlantic crossings into 747, but he taught me to MEI, and it's like the first thing is just bring that nose down
mm-hmm.
and get control, fly the plane.
Fly the plane.
And then think through it and, you know, methodically figure it out. So, you know, back to your first question, an immediate reaction, inappropriate, a thoughtful reaction,
mm-hmm.
but the immediate action is lower than those. That's automatic. Then what is it? How is it? Take your time.
We've all
seen that one fail badly, right?
Yeah. Love that airspeed.
Yeah.
CFI Pro.
Yes,
sir. Tell me about CFI Pro. I've heard the term, are you a professional CFI, but CFI Pro, what is it? How's
well,
it
the sales pitch on that is that two-thirds of our active flight instructors in this country have taught for less than 1 year. Two-thirds of our active flight instructors have taught for less than 1 year.
Wow, that's
scary. That's a scary,
yeah.
And this is not just now, it's a continuous churn. And this was Eric Crump at Polk State that came up with these figures along with Jason Blair. I give them complete credit.
Mm-hmm.
But the implication to that is we have complete beginners teaching all of our pilots.
Mm-hmm.
Now in Canada, a new CFI, when they're issued a CFI certificate, they're a class 4.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, they only teach as a student pilot under supervision. In the U.S., they can go anywhere and teach flying. So we at SAFE are targeting those people to improve their skills and bring up their level of professionalism, and that's CFI Pro in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
But it was developed, you know, it holds a lot of, you know, it owes a lot to the Orlando Enhanced CFI program that you yourself were participant in, Larry Enlow,
mm-hmm.
Obie Young.
Mm-hmm.
That program in 2 years, and what they did was they required every CFI to come back to the mothership,
mm-hmm.
get a day of training.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 years, they reduced accidents by 60%. So when we're selling this program, we say, it works. They proved it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I was a statistician on that as there well as the term airworthy.
Yeah, the AMT
Nobody's
guy.
Nobody's going to walk out of that room that didn't know what airworthy meant.
Right.
And how to apply it.
And I used that for years, Ben. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We're not finished.
Yeah.
We're just getting started because there's a new crop coming up that had airworthy, and they're looking for all sorts of all sorts of answers. The answer's simple.
Meets the type certificate, right?
And it's a condition for safe operation.
Yes.
I mean, it's not wore out, and it looks like the airplane that was meant to be.
Yeah, but here we are. You know, most of our planes are 50 years old.
They're wore out.
And they got STCs, and they may not be compatible. So we really push that, and we took the data that you created, Larry Enlow created, and all the things that pilots were weak on back, when was that,
97 to 99.
97, 99, yeah. All of that, those areas they were weak on, they're still weak on.
Yeah.
Airspace, aerodynamics.
Loss control.
Yeah, still. Yeah, same things. So we're using that proven syllabus, and we're expanding it, and we're offering it around the country as stand-up, you know, and I've done a couple here in Florida with flight schools. I'll come in for a four-hour in-service, and we do those exact things that you guys were doing in the 90s, and I tell you, at first, Ben, I thought that they'd get a lot of pushback. You know, who's this guy telling us? But they were so eager to have that information and learn. It was very gratifying, and we're making a lot of really good CFIs as a result. So CFI Pro is a safe initiative, and it's expanding to the whole country. We're trying to get the curriculum to a point where it can be transported like the old AOPA seminar in a box.
Yeah. There's been so many good programs that have come up. And it's not that they have gone out of service. They've just kind of taken a small hiatus, if you will.
Well.
But we need to bring them back.
Well, in that one, you know, I was just at the safe booth, and we're down in C-1920, if you're listening live, 1920 in the Charlie Hangar. But one of my board members is a friendly Fed, retired. Mm-hmm. I won't mention names, but he said he was in another FISDO district. Your program had a great deal of success, created a lot of buzz in the FAA, went up to the mothership, and if we may talk candidly, when it came out, it was a different program. And it became, instead of helping people, it was a little punitive, and they were looking at failure rates. And so it got a very different kind of flavor to it. We're trying to bring back the original program.
Well, not everything is just add water and stir.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that at headquarters, HQ, but works good there. Let's do it up here.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you use different ingredients in a cake, it's not going to taste the same.
Well, and it didn't have you and Larry and Obi to do it.
It's the ingredients. And
yes.
It's not that we're great and all that, but we worked well together. We understood each other. We had a way to pass that on. Master Instructor Program. I see a note here, Master Instructor. What is a Master Instructor?
Well, I'm glad you asked, and it's part almost of that CFI Pro. When you become a flight instructor, you have minimal time and all that. When you've taught for 5 years, you're still a flight instructor, and you have the same certificate. And what defines your professionalism? Have you moved from that original point and gained? So master instructor, you have to be an instructor for 3 years, and every certification, accreditation requires you to do 500 continuing education units in five different categories.
Hmm.
So if you want to qualify and attain that accreditation, you have to be educator, participant, kind of philanthropist. You have, you know, donated back to the community. And all of those items together, you send in your package and a jury kind of sits down and says, yes, they meet the standard, and you get a master instructor. Because unfortunately, the FAA creates instructors, but they have no continuing education program for them. Yeah. All you get is a gold seal. Once you have a gold seal, you have it for life.
Yeah.
So I'm on my 13th renewal of Master Instructor. Every 2 years, you renew it. And I get an insurance discount, and, you know, it puts you a cut above. We found that Master Instructors, on the average, make about 40% more because they have that professional accreditation. So that's what it is. And it is the fifth pillar in the CFI Pro program. In other words, we're teaching a bunch of things, but the last one is how to be a professional as a career. And you really can't support yourself unless you raise yourself up, and that's what Master Instructor allows you to do, is continue to be an educator. Eating ramen noodles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Only 50 cents, now it's down to 50 cents a piece. You know?
Yeah.
David, the fallouts. How about the CFIs that they work hard to get their CFI, they teach just enough to get enough to go to the airlines, and then they just let it go?
Yeah, you wouldn't. Do you know the data on that?
No.
You said you were a statistics guy.
Talk to me.
Yeah, well, the current data on that is there's 120-some thousand CFIs in the country, and of that, only 12,000 are active, meaning they've signed an 8710.
So basically a tenth.
10%. 10%, and a lot of them are airline pilots just sitting on their plastic. Now, sometimes they do get back into the field when, you know, they retire from the airlines. Mm-hmm. And that's another target audience for CFI Pro. They've been driving an Airbus for 40 years, mm-hmm. and now they want to teach again. Well, their information's old. Their, you know, FOI understanding is old. Their
things
fundamentals
change.
Of instructing.
Things change.
Things do change. And, you know, as you're driving a bus, it's not the same as flying a little aircraft. So we bring them into the program, and they're part of the CFI Pro emphasis.
And, you know, even in maintenance, you know, an IA, mm-hmm. you have to be an AP for 3 years.
Right.
You can apply for your IA, but you've got to continually keep your IA current.
Yeah, it's every two, right?
Yep. Every 2 years.
Yep.
Much like the CFI. We turn into pumpkins the 30th or the 31st of March. So to keep us active, and yes, I find that it's very good. I use an online course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can do annuals to keep it up.
Sure.
But the people that just do annuals, they don't get the benefit of learning about some of the Rotax information. And I'm proud to say that I go back into those courses, I learn something every time I go through it.
Yeah.
And I thought I knew it all.
And we find that, too, also as instructors, you know.
That was a joke, David. You got to check me on that. I thought I knew it all, dude. When do you know it all?
When you're in trouble, when you're done, yeah.
You did.
Yeah, that's it. It's like the old dead stop on the panel. How do you know when you have monoxide? When that turns black, you're dead. Anyway, no, as educators, we know that you really have to continually build and learn. And I'd be the first one to tell you one of the advantages of being an educator is that while you're teaching people, you're learning all the time. Mm-hmm. My very first student when I became a CFI was a general, an Air Force general, 3,000 hours in F-16s. He ran the air war in the Gulf. That's the level he was at, Brigadier General. And, you know, I had to transition him into Grumman Tiger.
Oh.
So who do you think learned more in that transition course, right? What an amazing pilot. And very humble. Not, you know, the big ego. He
you know, smoking a cigar? Or?
Negative. Nope. And he became our airport manager and a good friend. But, you know, the point of that is, as an instructor, everybody you teach has got something special that you don't know if you pay attention. And developing that trusting relationship is the key to having a successful educational experience.
David, how do we transition from being a thinker and a doer to a mentor without being offensive? Because to be a mentor, you have to have something going on to share. Some people have a hard time really reaching down into that toolbox. You remember Hooper Harris?
I do not, no.
Oh, he was a Fisto inspector, but he had a toolbox.
Uh-huh.
Carried with him everywhere. A mental toolbox.
Yeah.
And he would have things that he would have to pull out of his toolbox depending on the situation. So in this situation is some people, they have something to share,
yeah,
but don't know exactly how to share it.
Yeah.
So how do you, at SAFE, how do you work on the mentoring and how to get the proper attitude across to not turn people off of to look at me,
yeah,
to look at you,
yeah,
and how are you doing?
Well, and you hit it right on the head. You know, it's not I'm preaching to you, it's more than I'm listening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm getting data, I'm taking it in, and then I'm offering them something that will inspire growth. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the key thing. Mentoring is also not teaching. That's where you also have to draw the line. We have a very active mentoring program at SAFE, and what it is these people are listening, helping, offering tools, but they're not educating as much as they're just kind of, you know, making pathways for them to follow. But I do believe that's one of the critical things people should do in for a new CFI, you know, is get involved with SAFE and get signed up for that mentoring program, because you don't know what you don't know. You don't know where your gaps are until you have a mentor.
And staying plugged in is part of it. I mean,
yes,
you got
to
stay plugged in.
Oh, man.
We're going to kind of get into a wind down here, David.
Sir.
What is the most exciting thing that you personally and professionally have noticed in around Sun and Fun this year? You've been walking around for a couple of days, I'm sure.
Yep.
But there's got to be something that stings you. Say,
oh,
wow,
man,
that's cool.
That's cool. That's easy. That is so easy.
Talk to me.
Yeah. Well, and I got a early model of this Lightspeed, the new Delta Zulu headset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've flown a lot of planes, and the problem with that as a CFI, you're jumping in a lot of planes, and you don't know what's going to hurt you. And carbon monoxide, I mean, is this from a maintenance point?
Mm-hmm.
These are old machines, and frequently there's gas coming at you, and you're not even aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it explains my inherent stupidity, you know, having been poisoned all these years. But you put those on, and you get in a plane, it immediately warns you if there's, and you know, it's just simple addition to a headset.
I'll be damned.
And biometrically, you're being alerted. And I think that is the coolest product here on the field.
I thought I knew it all.
Yeah.
And I just learned something.
Yeah.
Damn the luck.
Stop by, I think it's the Bravo hangar. Yeah, Lightspeed. They have the booth there, and you can see it work.
Is it integrated into the headset?
Into the headsets, yeah. I bought a Cherokee 6, and the first time I'm flying this little beast with them on, and it's warning me of monoxide, and we found out, you know, that luggage compartment that had been assembled incorrectly, and it was blowing gas right into the cockpit.
Wow.
That is a silent way to kill yourself, my friend.
I tell you, and gas, you know, getting poisoned?
Yes.
You know, the best way to determine that is when your hair starts falling out.
You've been here and done that, right?
You haven't done it. Obviously haven't been poisoned yet.
Yeah, three times, actually. So, yeah, it's cumulative, too. Monoxide is cumulative, very dangerous. That was the coolest thing on the field, I thought.
Right.
Very simple change that can save your life.
I will take that. David, thank you so much for your time and experience
that you
shared. And hopefully there's been something that we have gleaned here that you'll be able to share with the public.
You bet.
All right, stay tuned, and you be careful.
Thank you, Ben.
We're going to cut this one off and to see you next interview. Ben Coleman, your anchor host for Florida Aviation Network. And I am practicing to be an air traffic controller, so I'm going to talk fast enough for you. See you later. Next interview.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.